The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening to us. This is episode 22 of the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Alex is over in Buffalo still. Alex, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And I'm Matt, as always, here in England. Question for you. It's from Jan Coetzee, if I've pronounced his surname right. Hallelujah. If I'm not, I do apologize. He did ask, in the Giants game, we got the ball back with about a minute and 40 seconds left to play in the first half with timeouts in hand. Knowing we would receive the ball at the start of the second half, why do they choose the conservative play calling, ending up giving the ball back to the Giants, which could have changed the outcome of the game? Obviously, they didn't. He's pleased with how the season's going and how the team plays so far. Is it inexperience by the coaches, trust or something different? Why we were a bit conservative with the play calling at the end of the first half?
That's a really good question. I was out of the room at that point handling something. And when I got back, I looked at like the play-by-play of what happened, and I'm very surprised that they tried not to go for anything. So I'm looking at the play-by-play stats from that, and it looks like that was on the Trent Murphy interception, right?
Yeah.
The ball back. So we're at our own 28-yard line. With 47 seconds left to go. There's probably something in the playbook specific for that situation, right? You're up 21-7. You're getting the ball back at halftime. You don't need to do that. Maybe if the score is reversed, if we're losing 7-21, 47 seconds with timeouts in hand, then you maybe whip out those plays out of your playbook and try and go for something and then score again after halftime. But at that point, the game was probably in hand. Sean McDermott, you know, he's going to trust his defense. So I think if anything, it was just don't put a 1 minute one-minute offense on tape for anyone to watch.
Yeah, I think personally with me, it's going to be a case that, yes, you'd be conservative just to see it out. Even if you've got the timeouts, you still, if the Giants, we knew how the Giants were playing in that first half, apart from that first drive, they were pretty much non-existent in the passing game and barely getting the run game up and running, that even by taking a knee, trying to see it out, if they use timeouts and punt the ball away, you're looking at the Giants potentially starting at their 15, maybe 20 yard line, going 80 yards in about 50 seconds. Yes, it can be done, but it's also another thing that you probably don't want Josh Allen to, unless he's handing the ball off, to attempt any sort of pass, because starting at your own 28, if he took a hand off and actually passed the ball, Who would not have said that could have been intercepted and taken back for a pick six? And obviously,
21-7. Just play it smart. Don't be too aggressive. You're still looking at a Josh Allen who's in his second year in the league with two brand new wide receivers. So don't go out there trying to chuck it when you're up 21-7. Now, I mean, if you have a team like New England where your quarterback has been on the roster and knows the playbook and trusts and knows his receivers, then you could probably go out there and do something because you know he's not going to turn the ball over. But Josh Allen still is a gunslinger, and he tries to play like Superman. So maybe you just want to keep him away from any negative scenario, and I think that's what McDermott was looking at there.
Yeah. Well, we thank Jam for the question. And obviously, during the week, during the games, or anything, we will ask, and we do ask of you to send your questions, no matter what it is, to us for us to answer on the show, because we love interacting with you guys. So, on that,
absolutely, that's what we're doing this for.
Yeah. So, on that note, we move on. Next up, we're talking Bills and Bills news. I think it's dominated this week by the potential injuries and who we possibly could have out on Sunday. I think Singletary, I don't have they mentioned anything else yet, whether it's actually a problematic hamstring or
with he didn't practice today. They haven't ruled him out yet, but they don't have to do that until I think Friday. But yeah, all signs point to Singletary not playing, and increased workload for TJ Yeldon coming up.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think if I was McDermott, I would rule Singletary out right now.
Yeah, to be safe.
You'd rather save him for the Patriots, where you're gonna need pretty much all three running backs up and running, and obviously Frank Gore's going to get most of the touches, but yeah, we'll see who Yeldon come in.
With a hamstring, you have to be smart with that, because that's something that can linger all season long. And if you're really, I mean, cutting McCoy, you're committing to Singletary. So yeah, if you want him to play 16, if you want him to be there at the end of the season, let him sit right now and heal up. It's fine.
I mean, the next one, to be honest, until you pointed out to me when we're having the chat before for the podcast, I actually didn't know that their Trey Neck potentially was out or had limited practice due to a neck injury.
You mean Trey White with a neck? You said Trey Neck.
Did I?
Yeah.
There I go again.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're not going to cut that. That's going to stay in there. That's good stuff.
But that's something that obviously I didn't know till you brought it up. Now,
yeah.
To be honest, I don't think it's something to worry about if we haven't called up anyone or signed anyone. Obviously, Captain Mullen would be the probably first bet, unless they decide to bring up Cam Lewis from the practice squad. They haven't done that.
Probably Cam Lewis over Captain Mullen, because I mean, everybody was talking. Just like Mullen is toast. He just doesn't have the legs anymore.
Mm. So, I mean, there's something that I've not heard about, but obviously I read an article that he actually thought he had people thought he had a bad game. He thought he potentially struggled against the Giants, but I can't see that. I think he did what he needed to do.
Yes.
He gave up 55 yards. So what? It was 55 yards over six receptions rather than 55 yards over the top and going for a touchdown. I'd be happy with that.
I'm keeping it fine with keeping it at that, you know.
Yeah.
Don't get too discouraged.
But I can't see it affecting that much, to be honest. And I think
it hasn't been dominated in Buffalo. It hasn't been dominating the news like Devin Singletary's situation has. So I wouldn't let it worry you.
Yeah. But this one possibly may or may not, it may divide divide the listeners. Tyler Croft, he's got back to potentially being healthy, ready to face, or at least a part action against his former team. But
well, he practiced in full yesterday,
and now he's was it Sean McDermott said he's injured his other ankle?
Yeah, real good stuff. Good job.
So I saw this on the when I was going through the Twitter feed. Do you think they'll stick with him, or do you actually think that they'll possibly move on now we know that we've got a couple of reliables in Sweeney and Knox, and obviously the veteran presence for Lee Smith?
Yeah, I don't think that we need him with how the rookies are playing. But then again, I mean, I'm going to stick to what I said at the beginning of the year. It's really hard to trust a rookie tight end. I mean, they're doing what they can right now. But I think that Croft can still give you, when healthy, more consistency from that position. But, I mean, if it's not going to work out, then, I mean, don't force it kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, to say Bill, he's got his guarantee already for this season. I think I read if Bill's cut in before May 2020, then he's only going to cost 1.6 to the cap. So I think obviously they've got that in mind. They're not going to take a huge hit, but it's a question, is that ankle just like a sprain? Like I had the last couple of days, I've had a sprained ankle myself.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, it's gone within three, four days.
Good. So, yeah. Quit your whine and get back on the pitch.
Hey, I'm on the sideline coaching. Okay. Playing.
You heard your ankle coaching? Come on.
Yeah.
What a physical sport coaching is. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think with it, it's one of those, if it's not that serious, then yeah, they'll probably just sit him out for another week. I say we need pretty much everyone fit and healthy for the Patriots game. I think, and we'll go into this a bit later when we go over the preview, that we need everyone healthy really for the Patriots. Bengals, they're banged up quite a bit. And we'll be speaking with Paul from the Bengals UK shortly. He was on the show a few weeks back with the preview. So if we keep everyone healthy for the Bengals game, if there's people with slight injury doubts, you rest them and actually save them for the Patriots.
Yeah, especially Singletary, because he's really important, I think, to this team going forward. Mm. But before we get to talking about the Bengals, everyone is talking about the NFL power rankings right now and where the Bills are, being 2-0, how many 1-1 teams are ahead of us. I saw an interesting tweet by Peter Dawson replying to a power rankings where the Texans were ranked 9 and the Bills were ranked 10th. And Peter Dawson, @PT_Dawson, says... and he's got a check mark, so whoever he is. But he's like, if the Bills played the Texans right now, if they met in the playoffs in Houston, he's picking the Bills to win. Would you?
Judging by some of the plays I've actually seen from Houston, I would probably kind of agree with him. I mean, really? They've only really
Did you see any of that Monday night game against the Saints in week one?
No, I okay. didn't. I mean, at the moment, all they've really got is Hopkins. You keep him quiet.
That's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Arguably the best wide receiver in football. And then you have J.J. Watt. I mean, if Josh Allen struggled with batted balls in the Jets game, J.J. Watt is known for that. So after watching... I didn't get much of them in week two, but they're a very heroic effort to try and beat the Saints in week one. I'm definitely going to pick the Saints. I mean, sorry, the Texans over the Bills. I kind of agree with them in the 10 spot. He's got Patriots, Chiefs, Cowboys, Rams, Ravens, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Texans, Bills. If anything, maybe the Ravens at 5 are too high. Maybe the Seahawks at 6 are too high. And especially the Packers at 7, even though their defense looks legit, their offense doesn't seem like the Aaron Rodgers of old. But, yeah, just how nice is it to see the Bills in the top 10?
Yeah. I mean, quickly going back to the thing, obviously last season we went to Houston, lost 2013, but then that was obviously after Allen went down with the elbow injury.
And hanging with them then.
Yeah, we were hanging with them, obviously. Yeah. We got let down by 2 Nate Peterman interceptions towards the pretty much in the fourth quarter, which almost sealed it for him.
Yeah.
For the Texans.
He did have a really nice touchdown though.
Yeah. I mean
Nate Peterman, God bless.
We had the receiver that actually had the most yards was Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah,
2 receptions, 43 yards. So
it's great to not have to talk about those guys anymore, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, going back on there and what we've got now and what we see, yes, we've only just played the Giants and the Jets. I would slightly favor us over Houston.
But... yeah, I can get that. I mean, last year's game was in Houston. We held their offense to 13 points. Let me look up what everybody did. Deshaun Watson only threw for 177 yards.
Two interceptions. Lamar Miller, 46 yards on 15. Hopkins, 63 yards, a touchdown on 5 receptions.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we can do that again and have a better offense, then, yeah, I guess. It's just, I mean, they look really good in week one. But, I mean, every team has that one week, you know?
Yeah. But we'll move on, as I say.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bengals.
Yeah, we've got we've had Paul on from the Bengals UK. He's also co-host of the Cincinnati podcast for the Bengals UK. As I say, we had him on a few weeks ago, so enjoy our interview and previewing the Bills vs Bengals game in week 3. And we are joined now by Paul from the Bengals UK and co-host of the Cincinnati podcast. Paul was on our show about 3-4 weeks ago when we did our team preview of the Bengals. Paul, thank you for coming back on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back on.
You're welcome.
Paul, Alex here. Alex. So the home game, number one for the Bills, big game. We don't get to sniff 3-0 very often. So help me understand our opponent this week. With the last two games, where's your confidence level at? Are you more like the team that played the Seahawks, or are you more like the team that played the 49ers?
Honestly, I wish I knew. This is the big question that's confounding Bengals fans up and down the land, really. As you said, we really played a great game against the Seahawks. On offense, we sliced them and diced them. We moved the ball at ease against that defense as well. On our defensive side of the ball, we limited their much-heralded run game. We more or less shut down the pass game, contained Russell Wilson. You know, statistically, we were miles better than them. And then we lost. It was probably one of the weirdest Bengals games I'd ever seen. Which is kind of saying something, really. But so expectation, even though we did lose, a lot of us were very, very excited about where this team could go. And, you know, there was lots of excitement before our home opener last week against the 49ers, and we just laid the biggest egg that you've ever seen in your life. It was a horrendous performance. Especially defensively, we conceded over 500 yards by the end of the third quarter.
Ouch!
It was that bad. They were kind of like racking up the 30-yard plus plays at will. I mean, it was Shanahan. He completely schemed it beautifully, and they executed the game plan perfectly. But what was more worrying is that some of the stuff that we saw at the back, well, the kind of start of, well, the middle of last season, where we had sort of three games back to back that were historically bad statistically on defense. And we're talking about missed tackles. We're talking about edges not being set. We're talking the fundamentals of the game not being adhered to. On the defensive side of the ball, it was a real car crash of a performance. And on the offensive side of the ball, our frailty, which is a big weakness, which is the offensive line, was once again exploited. We just cannot get the run game going. They can't open any holes. I think our run game is averaging like something like 1.5 yards a carry. So basically, Dalton has to throw it and pray that he doesn't get smashed, because our line only has a limited amount of time before it capitulates. So he's constantly on edge, and he's thrown for, I mean, I think there's a crazy stat saying that he's thrown for or attempted to throw for 93 attempts or something like that over two games. So statistically, Dalton looks fantastic because he's racking up the yards. John Ross has had a good start to the season, and we are moving the ball. But, you know, that is a really risky approach, and they're sort of playing with fire, really. So they have to get the run game going. So as good as the performance against the Seahawks was, it was that bad against the 49ers. So I guess the short answer, really, is that they're probably somewhere in between those two, those performances. So we're just going to have to see which Bengals team turns up this
So you mentioned, like, the run game. Against the Niners, was it the O-line or was it the Mixon injury? I mean, if he's injured, why play him? And status for this week?
No, he was clear to play. He was good to go. Yeah. No, it's the O-line, and because it was the same in the preseason, and it was just being shrugged off as just kind of, you know, we're trying lots of, because they were sort of chopping and changing the line. They're trying to find the best combination of players to make the best line. But you know, the running game, whoever they played in preseason, was non-existent.
Yeah.
It was kind of non-existent against Seattle, bar one or two runs.
Yeah, you got.
And it was, you know, it was just even worse last week. It was just awful. So, you know, if you get the talent behind the quarterback like Mixon, like Gio Bernard, you know, you've got to give them an opportunity to shine, and we're just not doing that at the moment.
Yeah, it seems like also we're hearing that there's a lot of injuries on your O-line going into the game. So,
yeah, I mean, we've had terrible luck, and I think we spoke about this in the pre-season preview, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, our first round pick, Jonah Williams, went down for the season, likely with a torn pectoral. Our starting left guard, Clint Bowling, retired because of blood clots. You know, no blame attached to those two guys or the situation, really. Just horrific luck. Yeah. Cordy Glenn, who you know very well, has had concussion for about a month now, which is kind of quite worrying. A lot of the beat writers in Cincinnati are kind of beginning to question what is really going on there, because, you know, you kind of fear for a guy who is still in concussion protocol after a month, you know.
Yeah.
Similar to us with Mitch Morse.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I mean, our line has been decimated, and we have kind of backups and substandard starters starting at the moment. However, they're talking a good game. Zach Taylor, the head coach, came out after the 49ers game and said, look, this isn't us. This isn't the team that I know and have been coaching for the past 6 months. This is an aberration, and we're going to get it fixed in time for the Bills game. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see about that. But, yeah, the line is a real problem, and people are screaming to go out and trade for Trent Williams, but just the nature of the Bengals as an organization, they won't do anything as drastic or... in their eyes, as crazy as that, you know. So, yeah, it's just a case of eking out every ounce of talent that this line has. But a lot of people fear, a lot of fans fear that actually that isn't, there isn't an awful lot of talent there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because obviously you guys have got a good front. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. My question is, obviously, What do you think is going to be the keys to the game on Sunday? Where do you think it's going to be won and lost?
Well, in the trenches, full stop. I mean, and we've just been, you know, I've just been banging on about it. It's how the O-line stacks up against, you know, the Ed Olivers and Jerry Hughes of this world. We need to get that run going, because, you know, Zach Taylor's offensive scheme is very heavily reliant on play action now and misdirection of other kinds, but you know, lots of screens but generally a lot of play action.
Yeah.
They normally plays 11 personnel, a single back, and you know, if you can't establish a run game, then
pass action's rubbish.
Your play action is not going to work. So, yeah. And that is a huge part of Zach Taylor's offensive scheme. So the hope is that they will be able to open a slither here and there for Mixon to kind of, and Geo to kind of creep through. Because if we do, if we can get the run game, even just a little bit, that will make such a huge difference. And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, we've got to get our fundamentals right. We've got to tackle well. We've got to shoot the gaps well. We've got to, you know, we've got to seal those edges, because you guys have started off really well in the run game. And I know Devin Singletary might be out this week. I don't know what the latest on that is, but, you know, the ageless Frank Gore looks good. You've got TJ Yeldon. So, do you know what I mean? You've got a strong winning game, and we need to somehow improve dramatically in a week on defense, or else it's going to be the same kind of thing that happened last week.
All we know is that we know that at least for before the game starts, Andy Dalton will get a huge round of applause.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's this, the beat writers were talking about this in their podcast, you know, it's kind of, you look at the two teams, obviously the Dalton thing has been a really nice story, and no doubt he'll visit his kind of, his, didn't he like pay, his foundation pay for a wing of a hospital or something like that?
I think in so, Buffalo. I'm not, I think. Sure.
So no doubt he'll visit that, and there'll be a few press shots about that, but you know, Preston Brown's coming back to Orchard Park. You know, Cordy Glenn is, even though he won't be playing.
John Miller.
You know, yeah. there's some big connections there. So, but the weird thing is, you say that you're kind of 2-0, and you know, yes, you played the Jets and the Giants. Let's just throw that caveat anyway. But you can only beat what's in front of you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I spoke a lot about not overreacting, but also just enjoying it. I mean, 2-0 is 2-0. Two road wins are two road wins.
I mean, you'll probably be 3-0 at the end of this weekend, to be honest. But Sunday is already, and we're talking about 3 weeks into the season, this is a must-win game for us, because if we have any aspirations of... Actually, the talk at the moment is the AFC North will be won by a very... kind of almost like a low scoring game, really. We're talking, you know, 9 wins might win that division, I think. Mm. As good as the Ravens have looked, and the Browns have just, I guess, again, it was against the Jets, but, you know, a lot of people tipping the Browns this year. The Steelers have started off horrendously, which is hilarious, and long may that continue. But for us, if we have any aspirations of, you know, getting to a decent record and even perhaps sneaking into that playoff bracket, then, you know, this is a must-win game for us already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is a weird thing to say so early in the season. But, yeah, if we'll be 0-3, and then we go to Pittsburgh the following Monday night, and there's a real chance that we could be 0-4, and then it's, you know, season over by week 4, which is soul-crushing. Do you know what I mean? But... Yeah, so
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to call this game for the Bills a must-win, with the goal being playoffs. Like, legitimately, this is a game that I think the Bills have to win. If we show up and we can't beat Cincinnati at home, I think that down the line you're looking at losses to Denver and Pittsburgh. Whereas if we win this week, then we might feel more confident about those games down the line.
Yeah, all I would say is, I mean, we just don't know what team is going to... I mean, if we play like we did against Seattle, it will be a very, very close game.
And I assume that that's the film that Sean McDermott and his staff is going to be watching more intently than the Niners game.
Well, I don't know, because the Seahawks kind of prepared for it in one way, and I think Shanahan saw that, and he schemed directly against that, you know, so... I would assume that the kind of, I mean, I think Bengals fans are hoping that there's going to be some sort of reaction. There has to be, because it was just so bad on Sunday. I can't tell you how bad a performance it was. Yeah. Both sides of the ball was just awful. I mean, the opening, we received the ball at this, excuse me,
That's right.
We received the ball at the start of the game. There was a penalty on the kickoff that put us back inside our own 10. There was a sack, and then there was a fumble. So it's probably one of the worst three and outs to begin a game you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. And, you know, things went actually downhill from there. And so I think most Bengals fans are pretty cautious about this week. Sorry about that. They're not making any crazy predictions. All they want to see, first and foremost, is a reaction last week. So, and then we'll take from there.
It's really got to be a strong start for you, right?
Yeah, I think so. They need, if it's on defense, they need a couple of plays that will make them, you know, give their confidence back. If it's on offense, they need to put a decent drive together. We need to see reaction. We need to start fast against you guys, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, thanks, Paul. There's just one quick question I wanted to ask right now, and this is kind of, how's AJ Green?
AJ is good, apparently. He's out of the boot, and he was actually doing some running yesterday, by all accounts. Okay. So, I mean, he's on course. We're hoping that he's going to be ready for the Pittsburgh game next week. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's the week after. But he's on the right track, apparently.
All right.
Cool. So thank you very much, Paul, for joining us on the show. Quick off the top of your head, what's close game or not?
Yeah, I think it will be. I think we will. I mean, they were embarrassed last week and they said as much. I made the point in our podcast, unfortunately, you can't polish a turd, which might be difficult for us. But, you know, we want to see a reaction. And that comment might sound harsh, but it was directed specifically at the offensive line and the kind of linebacking core, which is another big weak spot of ours. So, yeah, I want a reaction, and I think we'll get a reaction. Now, whether that'll be enough to hang with you guys, I'm not sure. It's going to be a raucous atmosphere up there, as you say. It's your home opener. You're 2-0. Everyone's going to be really, really into it. It should be a great atmosphere, and it should be a good game if the right Bengals team show up. So I'm going for Bills 24, Bengals 21.
Ooh, Phil going it.
Yes.
That's cool.
All right. Well, thanks for that. we'll take that win. Yeah. During week one, we had one of the Bills' sideline reporters on, and he actually picked the Jets to win. So,
all right.
So he was wrong. Hopefully, you're right, though. All right. So.
Well, I'm hoping that I'm wrong.
Yeah, you want to.
I'm hoping that we're going to be competitive again this week, and hopefully it'll be a great game.
Yes, perfect. Thank you very much for coming on, Paul, and we'll say here's to a good game on Sunday.
Amen to that, and thanks for having me on again, guys. All the best.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
And we thank Paul there for joining us on the podcast to talk about the preview the Bills Bengals game. Obviously, we asked him for his keys to the games. He's obviously said the trenches. Alex, how about you? What do you see the keys to the game being?
Well, it's great that our opponent is picking us to win, so that kind of increases my confidence level because, you know, the Bills are the Bills, and there's always going to be a game where you think they should win and they don't. But here's what I think the Bills need to do to win this game. We talked a lot about Dalton. The dude can chuck the ball. And if Mixon is banged up, he said he's healthy, but if Mixon is still banged up, then with their O-line, they're not going to run well. And I think that plays right into our defense's strengths. We have one of the best pass defenses in the league. Then again, though, I think if Dalton can get close to 300 yards versus us, which only happened once last year, and that was Brady who threw for over 300, and every other game we kept the opposing teams to under 300 yards passing, Only Rodgers and Cousins hit us with anything over like 270. The point is, if we limit Ross and Boyd, their wide receivers, and just get average run defense, then you're keeping them under 21 points, which is where you want to be.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rushing stats from the Bengals 49ers game last week. Joe Mixon on 11 carries only got 17 yards, an average of 1.5 yard a carry.
And Giovanni, most of that was in the first half when they were still trying to run the ball. They abandoned the run after that.
Giovanni Bernard, 6 carries for 6 yards. And Andy Dalton had 2 carries for 2 yards. So you'd either say that could be down to Mixon actually still struggling with the injury, regardless of whether he's come back healthy or not, whether the O-line's taken a hit or the 49ers have that mean defense.
Yeah, well, Paul really did attribute it to the O-line, so I think that that's going to be I don't think it's going to be an important key to the game. I think that if there's a very clear edge of our defensive line is better than their offensive line, then we should feast. I mean, I say limit Ross and Boyd, but give them some garbage time points. That's fine. I think that in the third quarter, we should have this thing in our back pocket. But again, it all does come down to, can we score more points than the other team? I mean, at the end of the day, the keys to the game are stop the other team and score points. But to be specific, in that Giants game, after our third touchdown, our offense put up drives of 2 yards, negative 2 yards, negative 2 yards, 13 yards, and 7 yards until we hit that 84-yard touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. If our offense can be consistent, and I'm not saying you need to score on every drive. That's impossible to ask for. But if you do hit, if you do strike and get unlucky with a negative 2 yard drive, a 3-and-out and punt, your next drive needs to at least be longer than 2 minutes. Control the clock. Keep the ball in your hands. Have more offensive run plays than the other team. And you control the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether you can attribute when they came out in the second half, whether you can attribute that to the Giants actually clicking on defense and actually making those adjustments, or the Bills were getting complacent or not with it.
The Giants are going to make adjustments. You have to be able to then make them on the fly. And if McDermott and Daboll can't make adjustments on the fly as well as they can by doing in the locker room, then I think that's going to be real trouble against a better coach team next week against the Patriots.
Yeah, I think another thing we've got to look for as a key of the game is obviously looking at John Ross himself, because obviously he's got the 4.22 speed, which I don't think many cornerbacks can actually keep up with him. So is it a case that they are going to leave Trey White on the island to actually stuff him at the line, or are you going to get a Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde covering him to go for a safety cover?
But I mean, Ross didn't do anything last week until the fourth quarter and garbage time. So if the Niners could easily handle him when the game mattered and was close, then I'm sure and have the full confidence in our coaching staff and players to be able to handle them when it matters most. Yeah, like I said, if we're up 21 or 24-7, if John Ross scores a 60-yard touchdown bomb, I don't care. The game's already over.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, because as Paul said, at the moment their offense seems to be on the play action, but obviously you got to set up the run. So with John Ross's speed on there, there is the run game that you're going to have to shut. And if we can check Ross at the line, then we will. I don't think we'll need it. I mean, in the game against the Seahawks, he went for 158 yards on 7 receptions and 2 touchdowns. So you can probably say that majority of his yards against the 49ers came in garbage time, but then look at the numbers he put up against the Seahawks all through the game and how close that was.
Yeah, and you know what? It's crazy because I'm usually a realist, but I mean, I'm just going to defend the Bills at every corner. What this season, because I'm so pumped for it. It's week one. The Seahawks didn't know what – I mean, John Ross over the last two seasons or one last year or whatever was nothing. So they probably took him by surprise, and then the Niners game planned for him and took him out of the game for three quarters. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see us having very much trouble with this game, and it just drives me nuts to have this kind of confidence about a team that has not been good for 18, 19 years. But yeah. Because then again, next week I'm going to be like, yeah, it is what it is. Let's not even record a show. It's going to be a loss. Let's see you in week five.
Well, we still will be recording the
we will, yes.
Yeah. But no, I think what we've discussed, obviously what we have with Paul, yeah, as much as we probably all love Andy Dalton right now and Tyler Boyd for what they did 2 years ago, I think as soon as that first kick goes, you know he's probably going to be booed the hell out of during the game, and then after the game, it's all "We love you, Andy." So I have.
Yeah, I mean he'll get a warm reception, or maybe that's over. Maybe he got that last year, and then we're now back to just let's play football. Because that's in the past, and this year is about creating a new playoff run. So let's do it without needing help this time.
Yeah, exactly. So we're both going for resounding Bills wins on this one.
27-17.
Ooh, that much.
Yeah.
I think they may put up a few more points than that. I think we're gonna get into 30s.
I would love to see that, and it would get me really excited. I just think that this offense just doesn't have that kind of consistency yet, and especially with Singletary possibly being out. We'll see. I would love them to prove me wrong, but, I mean, 27 is what you want to have to win a game in this league.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's where I'm going with it.
I'm going to actually go bold and go 34-14. I think the Bengals will get at least two touchdowns. I think it'll both probably be John Ross. I don't think the run game will matter. I mean, we shut down Le'Veon Bell for under 100. We kept Barkley to under 110.
Mm-hmm.
But then people were going to struggle to stop Barkley during the season anyway. So we've done well there.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson only passed for 195 yards against the Bengals.
I mean, they're not a passing team anyway. They're predominantly a running team.
Yeah. So I still think it can be a case that we can hit 40 plus. I mean, if you let Jimmy Garoppolo throw for 296 yards and three touchdowns, and even let Dante Pettis, their wide receiver, throw for 16 yards.
Yeah.
And you put out 41 points against them. I think we can finally break that 30-point mark.
Do we have a better offense than the 49ers?
Let's have a look.
No, just off the top of your head.
I think we do. I mean, okay. They've got Matt Breida, Garoppolo. I would say he's better at the moment than Allen because he's had the luxury of Brady and he's had a few more years in the NFL. But
yeah, I would probably say I would agree with you there. They maybe have the better quarterback, and when Singletary's healthy, Singletary and Gore is a little bit like Breida and Mostert. I think maybe they get a little bit of an edge there, but our edge is totally in wide receivers.
Yeah, because you've got who have you got? You got George Kittle, probably one of the breakout tight ends.
Yeah, much better tight end, but
Marquise Goodwin is all really is his speed, and we know him from Buffalo. And
he's not injured already too. I don't know. Kid's always injured.
And rookie Debo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
So compare those, and you've only really got Goodwin that's really had more than one, maybe two seasons.
Yeah, and Pettis is in the doghouse over there too. So yeah. He's not doing anything as a receiver.
And you've got with us, you've got Beasley and Brown, who've been in the league for six and nine years or something like that.
I would love to see something out of Robert Foster this week. Let me get like 2-3 catches for like 60 yards, you know. Zay Jones, stop dropping the ball. You know, let's go here. I think this is a game where guys can really show who they are and what our team can really look at.
Yeah. So we'll leave that till Sunday to see us probably prove right. One of us will probably get close to the score. More likely you, but you never know with this.
If you get closer, then that's better for the Bills. So
yeah, but we'll be obviously we'll be back on Sunday night after the game to review what will hopefully be the 3-0 Bills winning their home opener. Again, we'd love all your questions. As I say, it doesn't have to be about the game. It can be anything that you want to talk Bills about. We'll answer it. We'll interact with you. We're trying to make this a fan interactive show. So hit us with your questions, even if you start now or start during the game. We'll get around to answering them on the podcast. Is there anything else you want to add, Alex?
I'm loving Nelson Agholor in fantasy football this week. The injuries to DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah, if anybody's playing fantasy and not in a league with me, because I pretty much picked him up everywhere, Nelson Agholor is going to be my fantasy pick of the week. Not every league. You got him in one of the leagues, but I'm in like six. All right, so see, same page. Nelson Agholor, big pick this week. Fantasy football, let's go.
And on that note, until Sunday, until this time, until next time, for Alex in Buffalo for a few more days.
I'll be back home for the game on Sunday, so I'll see you all in England.
And me in England, it's good evening, good afternoon. Continue subscribing, downloading, reviewing, and all us to say is go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.